Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I think an ambassador, the ambassador for Yemen, was just killed last night. A drive-by shooting. He was going to the embassy. He's been working there, allegedly, according to in the Middle East. They were going to work. He's been going to work for like 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 or 20 years. I'll give it to you in just a moment. That somebody on a motorcycle, this is the Washington Post reports,
mm-hmm.
on a motorcycle drove past his vehicle and fired some shots into his car, and he killed him. A masked gunman assassinated the Yemen security official
mm-hmm.
who worked with the U.S. Embassy in a drive-by shooting Thursday near his home in the capital, officials say. And they're saying that it's a hallmark of an al-Qaeda-type Yemen branch that actually did that. And all part of the Arab Spring and all these things taking place. And our prayers go out to his family. And from what I understand, that he had, I could spell his name for you, but I can't say his name for you. But it's A-Q-L-A-N-I.
Got it.
Right.
That he had worked for the U.S. Embassy now for 20 years. Mm. He's given 20 years to the U.S. Embassy. And now his life is taken. That's what you're going to find if we don't start standing up as a country, that the people who are out there in the other parts of the world, they're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And as an example, you know, Ambassador Chris Stevens.
That's right.
You know, and what happened there. And speaking of that, when I've kind of mentioned this before on the air, and if you go back and listen, you can hear it. But the is how you say it. Sometimes God just lets you know some things, and you just mm-hmm. know it. It's sort of like a I forget what they call it on the internet, but it has all this information in a basically a wad, a ball,
A mega pop.
Yeah, like a mega pop, and it just all comes together like the whole encyclopedia
mm-hmm.
or a website, mm-hmm. for example, and it's all gathered together and imagine it like a baseball or something, and it's shooting through the high speed or whatever, and then it just hits your hard drive,
mm-hmm.
hits your screen, and it just appears or shows up on your computer, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how God will speak to you sometimes. God will just you'll just have a knowing, and it'll just hit you, and all of a sudden you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say how I know it other than, you know, God just made it known to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on VFN TV, there's two things you can watch or listen to. One is God does still speak in the voice of the Lord. They're available on VFN TV. And hearing how ways that God, you know, speaks to us. But one was that, you know, when the ambassador was sent to Libya,
mm-hmm.
the Lord just laid on my heart the same thing that King David did with Joab and Bathsheba's husband,
mm-hmm.
Uriah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an intentional sending of Uriah because King David had done something wrong and didn't want to be caught with it. And so instead of just it being him saying what happened, because he had an affair with Uriah's wife, he sent Uriah to the front lines, a loyal man. There's something so precious about Uriah because he knew that the people that were fighting on the front lines, he would not go and sleep with his wife when the king called. He didn't know why the king called him back. Mm-hmm. King David got him drunk. He did everything he could do to get him back to go back and sleep with his wife so he could mm-hmm. say the baby was his.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes outside to find out that Uriah is sleeping on his doorstep. He never would sleep with his wife because he's going, I'm just so loyal to mm-hmm. you as a king. You know, he had to be feeling horrific. So loyal to you as a king and our nation and Israel. And so then, instead of that plan, that strategy, he sends him to the front line, sends a note to Joab. Joab is his head of his military. And the note says, stick Uriah on the front front lines where we basically know he's going to be killed.
Mm.
And one congressman describes it this way. You know, when we call 911 in America, they send us, a police officer starts coming our way.
Right.
Some faster than others, but we pretty much know an officer's coming. Well, Ambassador Chris Stevens, he called 911.
Yeah.
He sent out asking for, you know, they're concerned. We need people here. And this is what happened. Not only did America and the State Department not send security or an officers to him, mm-hmm. but they withdrew all officers from the region. Think about it. Not only did when he called, basically, proverbially speaking, 911, not only are we not going to send you an officer, but we're going to withdraw all of our troops from around this region where there's no police officers here.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That sounds like Uriah to me.
Yeah.
Right.
And then how the Lord lays that on my heart, and then I happened to catch Ambassador Stevens' funeral and the Navy SEAL's funeral, and guess who oversaw the funeral?
Mm.
It was President Obama and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Those two officiated it. And it was like, you know what happened here. You know, I just knew this is
very eerie.
It's very eerie. You know, I'm not saying I have a report on it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying based on what God is revealing to me, it was like this was part of a strategy.
Right.
This was part of a distraction. This man doesn't seem like your typical man that you would put out as an ambassador anyway. He seemed, you know, too sanguine, happy-go-lucky type. And a true ambassador would not have even allowed that to happen. It's like, you know, you're going to send some troops, so I'm not
going
to go.
Oh, I'm going home.
We just killed the king.
Mm-hmm.
We just killed the president of Libya.
Right.
Our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, she says, we came, we fought, he's dead. I'm like, oh my goodness.
She said that. She didn't even know. It wasn't like it was a plan. That was caught off of an interview, you know what I'm saying? A downtime of an interview. So it's not like this was her in her most open way. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like she was part of an interview. She was saying this.
You don't celebrate the killing of any human being. You don't even belong in the Secretary of the State's office if you're going to celebrate taking kings and presidents and all these people out around the land. And then they show pictures of Ambassador Chris Stevens over Gaddafi's body dead.
Mm.
And so he actually hovered over the body. You know, he stood over it, knelt down beside the body, maybe identified it or whatever. And it was like, and then you say what you said is like, what? There's a thing going on, church, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And not only we're not paying attention to what's happening in our neighborhoods, we're definitely not looking outside of our country. And we're only like 4.5% of the population of the world. There's things going on right now that it looks like big shifts are taking place. And I'm not saying, hey, I know and I read or there's some sort of report. I'm just telling you what's in my spirit, what I feel God's revealed to me, that I believe personally that Ambassador Chris Stevens was set up. And I believe this before all this stuff's being revealed, when they're trying to blame it on some bad Hollywood flick. You know, I mean, I just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not right. It's not normal to do that. And you're sending, if there was parts of Israel, when we were in Israel, if you go there without security, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things that you do. You can go to Iran. You can go to parts of Iran. You just know what's going to happen.
Listen, you go to some parts of New York, you better know
where
to walk around. It's not rocket science here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hello.
You can see this play, or you can die.
Yeah, one of the two. If you walk down the street, you may not come back. I can't guarantee it, you know?
Right.
So how do we send an ambassador there, and he calls 911, and then we don't give him any kind of help, and then we withdraw the security that's there? It's like,
And so the thing is this, that we should be deeply concerned about American citizens being killed before our very eyes and being sent to their death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like bring them back quickly, swing them in a hanger, back up three hearsts, pull out their bodies, get them in the ground, hug their folks, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And blame it on a film. When, by the way, that now it's becoming totally evident, within 24 hours they knew it was a terrorist attack. And this is what I'm concerned about. This is why I'm speaking to you prophetically right now, that as we speak, this thing's unfolding, I feel in my spirit, that it's all coming in.
Yeah.
It's all coming to a head. Remember, I talked early in the first hour maybe about getting us closer to a cliff, closer to a cliff. They could have pushed already, but they're just getting us closer to be able to push. Realize, they're talking about Big Bird.
Mm-hmm.
And Ambassador Chris Stevens is dead. One who worked for 20 years at the U.S. Embassy in Yemen is dead. You know, 51-plus innocent soldiers are killed by the very ones they're working with in Afghanistan, that we're flying little remote control airplanes in other people's countries and killing their citizens.
Mm.
We are arresting people in our own nation who just spoke out in the First Amendment. We are creating laws left and right. I mean, this thing is crescendoing,
mm-hmm,
while the church is sleeping, and it's coming to the point that that whoever's behind this is not going to be contented with the way things are going, and they will step in.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, Perry Stone, he's a minister, and he speaks prophetically, and he knows a lot about Israel. He says that there's three people, it's reported to him, allegedly, there's three people that have over $3 trillion in the economies, and all they have to do is just move it or shift it. And they do that, then the country falls. But the thing is, if they want to, they're greedy. They, mm-hmm, want power, and they want money.
Mm.
And so they want to make money off the whole transition. So they want to, as George Soros says, we want to ease it down.
Mm-hmm.
Quantitative easing. It's like taking it slowly. Mm. And you know, people in, if you play
gears.
If you play Monopoly, which I don't like the game Monopoly. It just feels so real. Anyway, that some people want money, but some people understand it's not about the money if you start getting the property and the things and the stuff. Mm-hmm. Because if you have the property, the things and the stuff, you'll get the money.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are hoarding money in a greedy way, but the wise people are actually purchasing and buying things and stuff. So some people are worried about their money going down. While they're doing that, they're selling their property, things and stuff to foreign lands.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you'll just be paying rent because the government or China or whoever else owns your property. And so here we are at this one moment in time that things are happening so quickly that I believe in my spirit, I feel in my spirit that we've been sold out. America has been sold out. I do believe that what's happening is established by God. I think people that are in place are God's set men, like Josiah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah. Those are three kings that are in a row. And I really believe that we have right now somebody that's just like Jehoiakim, God's set man. And you can find that out. You can go to VFN TV and watch Josiah. And we can be Josiahs. We're called to be Josiahs in America. And you can find out more about that.
Mm.
But Jehoiakim was a set man that, mm-hmm, even God allowed him to be in place, but it was Egypt that put him in place. And then after all of that partnership and everything, then Zedekiah comes. And Zedekiah was put in place by Egypt. But Zedekiah's name means God is just. That alone could put the fear of God in the church to say, we need to repent on this side of God's justice. Because, you know, No One Cries for Justice is available on VFN TV, and you've got to listen to it. No One Cries for Justice. And you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it. But we're intimidated, and the enemy's convinced us that we can't cry for justice because we'll be destroyed. But understanding this, that's what's so awesome about God and what Jesus did for us, that we can go make things right at the cross, and the justice that's due us will be served. The gavel will land on Jesus.
Right.
And justice will come, which means putting things back in order again. We've got to get order back, but until that someone cries for justice, it was not going to happen. And the Word of God says no one cries for justice. And the reason why, and by the way, if you wait too late to cry for justice, if you wait too late, you're bait. You know?
Right.
And but I would prefer, even if I was late, I'd still want to be found on the side of saying, Lord, you know, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me for where I've gone wrong and where I've sinned, and that you would bring justice. And justice does this. Beginning to cry for justice brings people to the cross because there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. But as long as things are out of order, people think that there's hope and there's the disorderedness.
Right.
They think there's hope in a disordered marriage. They think there's hope in a disordered family. They think there's hope in disordered finances and a disordered nation. And but you bring things back in order again, there's nothing to hang on to. There's not even a little small place to put your foot or to hang on to when everything's in order. It's like it's God's way. And but there's so much disorder right now, you can be wrong for a long time and not know it. And you have this huge dysfunction. And this disorder is because things need to be back in order, which means justice. But nobody cries for justice because there's a lot of people benefiting off of injustices and disorder. And so listen to that teaching. Go there, VFNTV, and watch No One Cries for Justice. And it will encourage you to say, okay, justice is the answer. I can cry for justice, but I first better go to the cross. And if I'm going to preach justice to somebody else, I better preach Jesus because they too need to know that they too can be forgiven. And justice happens when we go before the throne of God and we say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm wrong. I deserve to be convicted. You're absolutely right. And but I am pleading the blood of Jesus. I am calling out for Jesus. And the judge will say, you're right. You're guilty, but I will move your punishment on my son, Jesus. And so justice gets served now, but it gets served on Jesus. And therefore, now you're grateful. It's not some religious experience. Because when you start seeing justice roll across the land, you're going to see great death. You're going to see mayhem. You're going to see economies going all over the place. But it needs to be on the hills of us, the church, you know, bringing justice and order in our own lives, but also telling people about the hope of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the way to start with that is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And we shared a couple of our stories at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet God, Father God, through his son, Jesus Christ. And we can help you do that at meetmyfather.org.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.